Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Today's Old Testament lesson is from Micah chapter 5. I've been teaching on the book of Micah in adult Bible class for the last 2 months, and so it's kind of exciting to have the opportunity to preach on this little book, especially when we recall its most famous verse. But you, O Bethlehem Ephrathah, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose coming forth is from of old, from ancient days. This prophecy, of course, is the inspiration for the title of Philip Brooks' beloved Christmas carol, O Little Town of Bethlehem, which is an insert in your bulletin that you will need at the end of the sermon. Hint, hint, hint. Brooks was an American pastor who took a trip to the Holy Land in 1865, the final year of the Civil War. And on Christmas Eve, he took a horseback ride from Jerusalem to Bethlehem, visited the field that supposedly was the very field where the shepherds were when they saw the angels in the sky that night. If any of you have ever been to the Holy Land, you know that there are many places that are supposed to be the very place where it happened, but then there are competing sites, of course. Usually the Catholics have one site, the Orthodox have another, and then it's sort of a debate about which one is the right place. Well, anyways, he went to, he finished his pilgrimage at the Church of the Nativity that night. For what it's worth, I know sometimes people complain about service lengths today. The Christmas Eve service in Bethlehem started at 10 o'clock at night and went until 3 o'clock in the morning. 5-hour service for Christmas Eve. Brooks wrote his hymn a few years later while reminiscing about his little visit to the little town of Bethlehem. He included it in the Christmas program for the children at his church that was supposed to be on December 27th. And in fact, he wrote those words, and then his church organist composed a quick little tune to go with it. And the children sang that, and that was its world debut. So, true to the title of the hymn, Bethlehem was not a big city in Micah's day or in Jesus' day. Bethlehem is not even a big town today. It has a population of about 28,000 people. In Jesus' time, it was even smaller. And compared to Castle Rock, 70,000, or Parker, I think Parker's almost 100,000 now, you might regard Bethlehem as a bit of a backwater. But even in Jesus' day, Bethlehem had at least one thing going for it. At least it wasn't Nazareth. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Bethlehem was a tiny town, but it would become the birthplace of Jesus the Messiah, not only the King of the Jews, but the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Yes, writes one Bible scholar, Bethlehem was insignificant. But in fact, it is from this insignificant place that the ruler would come forth. Bethlehem was also known as David's city. It was the hometown of David, the second king of Israel, the ancestor of Jesus. But before David became a big shot, he was the youngest and almost forgotten son of Jesse, a practical nobody. I don't know if you remember the story from 1 Samuel chapter 16, when the prophet Samuel went to Bethlehem to find Jesse. He was told he would find the next king among the sons of Jesse. And so he told Jesse, gather your sons. And Jesse said, all right, boys, come on. He didn't even bother to go fetch David. He didn't even bother with his youngest son. And remember, he went down the line, and God said, not him, not him, not him. And remember that Samuel was, you know, he was impressed. He's like, you know, oh, this guy's tall, he's good looking. And God and the Lord famously said, man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh upon the heart. And then he said, do you have another son hidden in a closet somewhere? He said, oh, yeah, there's Davy. He's out there watching the sheep in the field somewhere, but you don't want to deal with him. He's like, go get him, go get him. And they brought David, youngest son, almost forgotten, like I said. And God said, this is the guy. And Samuel took a horn full of oil and poured it on David's head and anointed him to be king over Israel. Bethlehem was flyover territory. If it had a stoplight, if it could have had a stoplight, there'd probably be only one, and you'd blaze from one end of town to other in just a few minutes. And yet the ruler that Yahweh would bring forth for himself would come from the least of the clans of Judah. And like the original King David, the future ruler from David's line would be an unlikely choice. Last winter, I took a class online about the book of Micah, and it was a joy. I got to hear one of my former Old Testament profs from the seminary who left the seminary, took a call, and then went to Concordia St. Paul and teaches there now. Anyways, he was doing an online class, an extension class through Concordia St. Paul. I was able to take it, and it was all about Micah. And Dr. Lessing said, Micah likes small towns and small people. Small towns and small people. What's the old expression for people like that? Small potatoes, right? Well, most of the places that Micah names in the first chapter of his book are just villages that wouldn't even show up on a map of Judah in those days. And the prophet Micah himself was from a small town called Moresheth, which is about a third of the way from Lachish to Jerusalem. From where? Lachish. Where's that? Exactly. Micah was a nobody from nowhere. Why pay him any mind? Micah was one of those minor prophets, you know. I mean, how important can they be? The minor prophets didn't even preach in the major leagues. And yet already in the 8th century BC, nearly 700 years before the birth of Christ, the small town prophet of Micah was anything but small potatoes. Already, he began to bring Christmas into focus in his prophet telescope. And the image in his telescope may have been fuzzy with, you know, slightly blurry, but you can get by, you got to get by with what you can get in a hick town like Moresheth. But his words already predicted the incarnation of the Son of God. But you, O Bethlehem Ephrathah, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler in Jerusalem, whose coming forth is from of old, from ancient days. And the fact that this ruler would be a human being is spoken in verse 3. Therefore, he, Yahweh, shall give them up until the time when she who is in labor has given birth. So he foresees the birth of a child, a human child. And this, of course, would be none other than the virgin's offspring. Now, Micah doesn't mention the virgin birth here. His contemporary, Isaiah, who preached at the same time, but was in the big town, the big city of Jerusalem, and actually was father-in-law to kings. Isaiah foretold, of course, that the virgin would conceive and would bear a son and would call his name Emmanuel. But Micah, he saw that Israel would be in a time of trouble when this child was born. And remember, they were. When Jesus was born, it was a time of turmoil and upheaval, the Roman occupation, Caesar's census, all that. But the Son of Mary is also the Son of God. And that he is divine is indicated by several key phrases. First, even though this king will come in the future, this ruler, this king will come in the future, but it says his beginning was long ago. His coming forth is from of old, from ancient days. So here's a king who had his source long ago and yet will live even into the future. Nobody but God can be that. Or God made flesh. Jesus Christ, the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. More divine attributes are given to this future king. He shall stand in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. He wields the strength of the Lord God Yahweh, and he even bears the divine majesty of Yahweh's name, the name which, along with God's word, is exalted above everything else. Jesus' Hebrew name is Yehoshua, which means Yahweh saves, or the Lord saves. And so Jesus' given name contains in its meaning the divine name of the Tetragrammaton, the YHWH spelling of the name Yahweh. Jesus is Yahweh. Jesus is Lord. God himself come down in human flesh. The one whose coming was from ancient days, but who has no end. There's no distinction between the reign of Yahweh and that of the ruler. Yahweh reigns through the ruler. And looking backward through New Testament eyes, we recognize that ruler to be Jesus. But from the world's perspective, who was Jesus? He was the son of a poor carpenter and his bride from Nazareth. Another backwater nobody like Micah. Born in a feeding trough in a stable in Bethlehem, nobody besides his parents, the shepherds, and the magi would have expected much to come of Jesus. And probably by the time he was an adult, those folks were dead. The prophet Isaiah, well, not Mary, but the other ones. The prophet Isaiah tells us that Jesus would not be an attractive or impressive person. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire him. And during the 3 years of his earthly ministry, Jesus wandered as a homeless vagabond. Foxes have dens, birds have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head, Jesus said. He'd be just as likely to be sleeping under a bridge as to be sleeping onto the couch in somebody else's house. Not even his brothers believed in him. His own neighbors rejected him and tried to kill him. Do you remember when Jesus went home to Nazareth after his baptism and his fasting in the wilderness? He went home to Nazareth and he read, he stood up the lector in the synagogue on the Sabbath. He read from the scroll of Isaiah and he said that it was fulfilled in their hearing that very moment. And they said, who does this guy think he is? And they dragged him outside and they tried to throw him off a cliff to kill him. Talk about a homecoming celebration. Jesus said, no prophet is accepted in his hometown, among his relatives, or the members of his own family. Jesus was descended from the line of David the king, but to all eyes, that was a broken line. The house of David was a rotten stump. There hadn't been a Davidic king in nearly 600 years. Earlier, I quoted Dr. Lessing, who said that Micah likes small people from small towns. Well, so does God. The Lord always seems to pick the most unexpected and least likely candidates for his purposes. He's the champion of the underdog, of the down and out. If God was a fan of hockey teams, he would cheer for the Mighty Ducks. In the words of Jesus' mother Mary, he brings down the mighty from their thrones and exalts the weak and the lowly. He picks people like 80-year-old murderer outlaw on the run Moses to rescue his people from slavery in Egypt. How many of you are 80 or close to? How many of you would want to become the pastor of 2.5 million people at that point in your life? He chooses a shepherd boy named David to become king, and we already talked about how David was even disregarded by his own father. He calls a little virgin betrothed to be married, to bring the Son of God into the world. He calls unschooled fishermen and zealots and tax collectors to be the founders of his church. And he brings forth the babe of Bethlehem, a baby born to die as a criminal in our place on a cross, to rescue us from sin. And God uses frail, flawed, faulty, broken down sinners like you and me to share the gospel in the world today and to carry out the callings that he's laid on our lives in our daily vocations, as we love and serve our families and our neighbors. God does not call the qualified. He qualifies the ones that he calls. And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. In God's kingdom, the first shall be last and the last shall be first. That's why you guys are sitting in the back, right? Because the last shall be first. God chooses what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. He chooses the weak to shame the strong. The message of the cross and the message of the manger is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to those of us who are being saved, it is eternal life. Like Micah, God loves the underdog. And that's why Jesus was born in the little town of Bethlehem instead of a palace in Jerusalem. In the name of Jesus, amen.